great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. One more time. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sir, how great thou art. Well, isn't it a wonderful privilege to be back in the house of the Lord again? Amen. Service here Wednesday night was just phenomenal. The word of the Lord just keeps getting better all the time, doesn't it? Amen. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Are you glad to be alive this morning? Praise the Lord. Well, it's just good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're going to look at a prayer request. Brother John Horniak, if you would get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer. Got a couple of testimonies before we look at our prayer requests, though. Many of you may have saw it on social media, both of these testimonies that I want to share with you. The first one is concerning a minister here in Johnson City, Brother Larry Duggar. He's the brother of the man that Brother Rocky and I worked for at Woodall Anderson and Duggar funeral home. But here just a few weeks ago, his colon that ruptured, and he didn't actually even know what was wrong. He just had a very severe pain, and they took him to the hospital, and his colon had ruptured, and he was at death's door. He was in the intensive care unit. Family just didn't really know what to expect. They knew that he was very, very sick and he was at death's door. But prayer was spread abroad over all the tri-cities and probably around the world. People began to pray. 3 days ago, he got to go home. He's out of the hospital, got to go home. So praise the Lord for that. So they're so very thankful. The Duggars, they idolize Happy Valley. They've got a home church, but they consider this their second home church, and they're just wonderful, wonderful people, and we're so glad for that testimony. All of you may have seen Sister Brenda Goad's testimony on social media. She went for her six-month CT scan, and the doctor, in his words, it was a perfect scan. No cancer to be found anywhere. Go out and celebrate. So I say she's celebrating this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're living in a land that God's still got the upper hand of everything that's going on. Do you believe that this morning? He's still in control. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give him a good hand clap if you love him this morning. Praise the Lord. And I say to all those that are sick in our assembly here, let's just be encouraged by what God is doing. Your miracle might be in the next minute. It might be in the next day, but it's coming. I believe healing is on the road. Don't you? Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. Praise the Lord. This is a prayer request sent in from Brenda Taylor. Her granddaughter had a baby on Wednesday. The baby is having all sorts of real bad digestive problems. Been vomiting, throwing up, different things. They're sending it to the University of Kentucky Hospital to a specialist. Please remember it in prayer. Thank you, and may God bless. So we certainly want to pray for that child. Want to pray for Kenneth DeSaltis, for several serious medical conditions. The Lord knows all about. Brother Gary Harris sends that in. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Bobby Hayton sends this in to please pray for his aunt Louise in Ohio. She's in a rehab facility with a fractured back, so we certainly want to pray for that need. Brother Gary, Sister Lona, also send this in to please remember a close friend of theirs, Janice Richards, in prayer. She has liver cancer, and the doctors have given her 6 months to live. Also pray for her mother and her family. So let's remember that need today as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Jonathan Baker. He tested positive for COVID this week. Also pray for the Baker family. They're waiting results, so we just pray that the Lord will be mindful of them, and may God keep them in His loving hands. Brother Jackie Tipton wants to offer this testimony or a thank you card of sorts. I want to thank everyone who called, texted, visited, brought food, sent cards, and most of all, for all you that prayed for my family during the passing of my mother. Your words of encouragement, kind gestures, and support were very much appreciated and will never be forgotten. So we thank the Lord for that family and just pray that God would continue to bless them. Brother Orville Reese, we want to wish him a happy 78th birthday today. Brother Orville streams all of our services and wants everyone to know that he loves us and he misses being with us very much. And we miss Brother Orville, don't we? Amen. Let's all say it together. Happy birthday, Brother Orville Reese. Give him a nice hand this morning, if you would. Let's all stand as we get ready to pray over these needs. Brother John, if you'd come, take us to the Lord in prayer this morning as we pray. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Certainly appreciate the Horniak family, don't we? They're a good bunch to have among us, I tell you that. Love you, buddy.
Love the Lord. Isn't it so good to be in His house? You know, I was sitting there listening to Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and just that presence comes in, and just raise my hand and worship, and tears coming down my face. He obligates us to worship. It's something in our heart. Aren't we grateful for that? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Lord Jesus, when we look around and the whole world's falling apart, Lord. And Lord, many people, Lord, they don't know what tomorrow brings, Lord. But we're a people that know who holds tomorrow, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that no matter what comes, Lord, no matter, Lord Jesus, the tests, the trials, Lord, these prayer requests in my hand, Lord Jesus. Lord, they're all in your control, Lord. We know, Lord Jesus, that you've got it all, Father. We're asking for the healing, the touch, the comfort, Lord Jesus, that you so easily bring, Lord Jesus. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that we know you in that way. We can't help but praise, Lord. You put it in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to praise, Lord. You put it in our hearts, Lord Jesus, to lift your name up, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. And we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, that you're here amongst us, Lord. But you don't only come to church, Lord, but you follow us home, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful that we know you that way. Oh, God, we're so looking forward to hearing from you today, Lord Jesus. We're so looking forward to praising you in song and in worship. And Lord, when we're sitting in our pews listening to the word come forth, Lord, our hearts will be rejoicing then too, Lord Jesus. We so love you and we thank you for this day and what you mean to us, Lord. I pray you just be with us. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now we've come to worship this morning. We've come to create an atmosphere that's going to be very pleasing to the Lord. And we want the minister, when he comes to bring us the word, to have smooth sailing. Right? How many of you are going to worship with me? How many of you are going to praise the Lord with everything you got? Well, the rest of you, I hope you enjoy our praise this morning. worship with us, if you will. We're so glad to have you in the house of the Lord. Those that are streaming that can't be here, may God bless them this morning as we get ready to have this service. Got a very special guest with us in the service today. Just a prodigal that's come home. And we're so glad to have Brother Terry Horn with us in the service today. Going to be speaking for us. And we're just thankful for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got me sing. Get your microphone ready and help me sing. You be Harry this morning, okay? Help me sing. Amen. You're actually a little bit prettier than Harry, to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, I love the Lord. Somebody say, it's good to be a Christian. Give him one more good hand clap of praise this morning. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Aren't you glad you got joy this morning? Turn that smile or that frown, let me say, turn that frown upside down. Let's smile a little bit. We're going to have church. We're going to worship the Lord. God is good to Happy Valley. God is good to the saints of Happy Valley. Somebody say glory. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it to me. The world ain't taking it away. I want you to sing it. Joy that I have. World can't
most that I have. Thank you, Lord.
Clap of praise if you love him this morning. Just before Brother Joel Brown gives us a song, let's sing this chorus this morning. It came to my heart, and I thought, Lord, I noticed this morning that hurricane force winds, I believe it's in the state of Utah, floods different places. California's burning up. But in spite of all of that, we are going to make it. In spite of what the devil throws in your life against you, we're going to make it. He's already said we'd do it. We read the back of the book and it says that we win. What greater assurance do we need this morning than the reading the back of the book and it says you win. Somebody say praise the Lord. Yes, I'm gonna make it. He's already said that I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Give Brother Joel Brown a nice hand as he sings today. You can be seated.
Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. When I've seen him face to face, and he's appointed my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. How about you? Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. When I've seen him face to face, and he's appointed my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. I've heard so much of Jesus, of how he died on Calvary, and how he gave his life for ransom, just to set the poor free, and how he laid in Joseph's tomb, but he rose one morning soon. Satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. When I've seen him face to face, and he's appointed my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. Now listen. When my work is finished and I must surely die, you know he will be my gateway to my home on high. And there around the throne, he'll appoint my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. Oh, just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. When I've seen him face to face, and he's appointed my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied. Sing it with me. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know I'll be satisfied. Just as soon as I see Jesus, you know finally I'll be satisfied. When I've seen him face to face, and he's appointed my soul a place, satisfied, oh, I'll be satisfied.
Hey, hold on just a minute. Sometimes you just get something in your spirit. I don't know how y'all are, but Brother John was talking about worshiping. We can't help but worship, saints.
is something in us. Huh? I don't care if you can't sing, clap your hands. If you can't clap your hands, tap your foot. But this is in me this morning. Y'all know it. Help me sing it. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going, one day it won't be long. If you wanna know where I'm going, where I'm going, one day soon.
He'll give you grace too. I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior with my own eye. Hallelujah. You know, God, He's gonna give me grace. So I said, I'll fight, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior.
No need for me to try to sing any of that. He does so well. He did so well. And no need for me to try to sing any of that. Thank you, musicians. Well, I'm just going to have to say it. I'm so glad we get to go to church. Amen. You can be seated for just a minute. We got to talk. You know what happens when somebody says, you know, we got to talk? We got to talk. So first of all, I want to greet you in the name of the Lord. Sure have been missing you. I'm just going to have to try to stay on the light side. Otherwise, I'll start crying. I don't want to do that. But, you know, the 15 years that we were here, that's probably a third of my Christian during my Christian lifetime. So it's a big part of my life that we've been down here. And we're just part of the universal family. We love you. We appreciate you so much. It's just a joy to be a Christian, to see you again. Each one of you, wish the whole church could be here. But we'll have a reunion real soon. Also bring greetings from my pastor, Brother Sean Martin. He wants to greet the people too. I do want to apologize, first of all, and ask you to forgive me. The whole thing, and I'm just going to explain just in a minute what really happened. I think Brother Donnie made a statement about that. Well, I had talked to Brother Donnie about us. We really felt the need to get back to Roanoke because we have an autistic child, special needs child. We really need to kind of attend to him some more and some different, several little things like that. We just needed to get back to where he's at in Virginia because of if everything, any happened to him, you know, we got to be in the state of Virginia, just several things. Anyway, so I talked to Brother Donnie, so we decided to put the house on the market and sell it. Well, I didn't know it was going to sell the first day. It sold the first 3 hours. It got actually three offers on it. And so, you know, we sold the house just immediately. And then, of course, some of y'all know we were still coming to church at that time. Well, about after 2 weeks, and Brother Donnie and I had just discussed at my last service here, he was going to make a statement, or I would, and just kind of say our goodbyes. Well, we didn't have a last service. You know, the COVID hit, and they closed the church down, so it just, almost like Philip, we just got transported, you know, and that's just But anyway, that's kind of what happened, but I do apologize for not really getting to say goodbye, but really there's no need to say goodbye because we're just part of the family. We're just going to have a reunion real soon, and we're just part of the universal body around the world, and we just appreciate so much. And Alice sends her greetings. She'd love to be here. Of course, you know, with her immune system, we've tried to be real careful with her. By the grace of God, neither one of us have got it. She hasn't even gotten sick since January and February, where she had a couple of episodes of that, you know, before that. But even that, she hadn't got sick, all the moving and traveling back and forth. So we just thank the Lord for that. And just good to see each one of you. We're pressing on, fighting a good fight of faith. We still love the Lord, believe this message with all of our heart. He gets sweeter all the time. Only thing that's changed is about 6 months down the road. Things are getting harder. You might as well face it, we're in the beginning of the squeeze. How much harder it's going to get? We know it's going to get harder, but God's going to get stronger. Amen. You know, as Brother Louis said, we're going to make it. He's already made a way. He's already promised it. So that's a given. It's just a matter of, you know, playing out the drama. Amen. We're going to do our part. So we appreciate that. I appreciate Brother Michael Bailey. He put the quotes on the screen. You know, I always love to put the quotes on. It's just really helpful, especially when you read a lot of quotes, which I do. I want you to follow along. And what I'm going to say this morning for everybody that's intending on going in rapture, the message this morning is for you. That's for everybody going in rapture. If you want to go, it's not for you. But if you're intending to go in rapture, this is for you this morning. And I want to say thankful to Brother Michael Bailey. And actually, he said he put two or three of his own quotes in there. I don't know where he wants to put them in, but he might want to come down and comment on them when he puts them up. So that would just be up to him. But wherever you are, Brother Michael. So let's stand. We want to turn to the scripture that Brother Ram used for Christ the mystery. We all know what that is, Colossians 3:1-26. So as we look at that, really, I'm going to announce my title in just a minute, but this will kind of help us explain. I'm going to preach on why. Well, I'll give you the title right now. Why a secret pool? We know the third pool is a secret. Why a secret pool? Really not going to tell you what the third pool is. I know there's three phases of the third pool and all like that, and we're not going to go into seals and thunders and pools and all like that, but I want to talk to you why it is a secret pool. That's what we want to talk about this morning. And it'll also help us to kind of understand a few little things of, you know, why there's a falling away and the separation, the trials, and, you know, every kingdom that is to be shaken is being shaken right now. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get harder. And we know that, but if we understand why a little bit better, then we have a little bit more courage, insight, and how to face these things. To know the tactics of the enemy, we know how to fight the enemy better and what to look forward to. Colossians 1:25, I want you to look at this as they put this up on the screen, and we'll go through this. And as I said, as we go through these quotes, I don't want you to say, okay, I know he's going to get to a climax down the road. I want everything that I read, even at the beginning, is very, very important. So listen and pay attention and read the quotes and digest what the Lord's given me to speak to you. Colossians 1:25, wherefore, or whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid. What is it? It's a mystery. And notice it's been hid from ages and from generations, but now it's made manifest to his saints. This is God's choice. To whom, that's the bride, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, while you're standing, right before we're seated, I want to read, thank you so much. I want to read out of the emphatic dialogue. Brother Bram used it several times. And the dialogue actually just tells the original Greek word by word. And I have a reason for that. Verse 26 out of the dialogue says, the secret which was concealed from ages and from generations, but now is manifested to the saints. Verse 27, to whom God wished to make known what is the glorious wealth of this secret among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And while we're standing also, I want to read this short quote. This is not on the screen. The importance of revelation by the Spirit is to a true believer can never be overemphasized. Revelation means more to you than perhaps you realize. Now, I'm not talking about the book of Revelations and you. I'm talking about all revelation. It is tremendously important to the church. So let's bow our heads and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, that we can even stand here before the redeemed of the Lamb of God, the Bride of Christ, a portion of it. And we're thankful, Lord, to be part of that portion of the redeemed, those names that's in that Lamb's book. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of the Word. We ask that you would give understanding. Pray that you would, we know that you're present, that you would reveal yourself to each person. We just give you praise. May you have preeminence in the service. And when we leave the building, we can say it's been good to be in the house of God. Speak to us along the way. We humbly ask and we'll give you praise. We thank you. Lord, help me. I've got some notes, scriptures, quotes here, but Lord, only you can bring the understanding. May you grant it. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can all be seated. Why a secret pull? Now, there's a couple of two or three things that we want to get out of this verse of Scripture that we read. Several things, but there's a couple we want to pull out of there. Now, first of all, we know it's a mystery, and a mystery that was hid. So, first of all, we know God hides things. Now, and then we also find that not only does he hide things, we realize that, but the original wording here is secret. Now, this is very interesting because the word mystery in the Bible is written 22 times in the New Testament. It's not even in the Old Testament at all. Not even written the word mystery. In the New Testament, 22 times. 21 out of that times in the original Greek is always used the word secret. So you might as well say, except for Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon, it actually says Mystery Babylon. But anytime you read the word mystery, you might as well just read the word secret because that's what it is. And mystery is a secret. We understand that. But sometimes we get the idea, mystery, well, but it's actually a secret. It's a secret. So just anytime you read mystery, just read secret because that's the way it's worded. So we understand this to be true. So every time you read it that way. We've got to approach it that way. Every mystery is a secret. Now, let's look at another scripture here in Mark 4:10. And this is really, really striking, but yet simple, but it's very, very applicable to what we're talking about. Mark 4:10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12, asked him of the parable. Now, he's speaking to a multitude and also his 12 disciples. And he said, Jesus said now, and he said unto them, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now he's got two, he's already distinguishing two classes, two categories right there. To you, I'm going to give you the understanding of the mystery, and it's given that way, but to them that are out, it's done in parables. That, and because they're not going to catch it anyway. They're not going to catch it. That, and this is the reason, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. But they're not going to catch it. Unto you it's given to know the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of God. They see with their eyes, they hear with their ears, but they have no revelation. Now this is interesting. If you look up the word, if we take the word mystery, actually means, we won't labor on this, but it means a hidden thing, a secret, a mystery. Generally mysteries, religious secrets, confided only to the initiated and not to the ordinary mortals. A hidden secret, a thing not obvious. A hidden purpose or counsel. The secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from the ungodly and wicked, but men, but plain to the godly. And that all comes by revelation. And brother, I see predestination written all through that. God has already ordained it. He has preset it. He's described it. And look at it this way. We know that God has ordained from the foundation of the world. He had a great redemption plan. So we know all about that. Thank God for that. Now what was in the back part of God's mind before the foundation of the world? You, the bride, the elected church, you're the beneficiaries of it. How thankful we are for what God has done for us. Now God's great secret mystery he had before the world began. This is Christ the Mystery 102. Now back in the back part of God's mind, there's something that he was trying and was going to achieve. And he had a motive in doing it in order to let himself be expressed. Now this next quote that we're going to read in the unveiling of God, start paragraph 21. It's a lengthy quote, but there's some very outstanding, almost mind-boggling. Did he really say that? Yes, he really said that. And this is actually going to begin to explain why, or at least one reason why, God keeps secrets. Why does God keep secrets? Good question, isn't it? Why does God keep secrets? Unveiling of God. Paragraph 21. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you who takes the tapes listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. Amen. Understanding. Spiritual understanding. Now, Brother Branham in the first seal, he says, I'm going to call you bride. We quote that all the time. But if you'll read the rest of that sentence, he said, I'm going to call you bride that you might understand. Read the rest of that sentence. Spiritual understanding. He's got to say it and trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. Don't you remember even when he was during the course of the seven seals, you go back and listen to the seven seals and they say, did you catch the mysterious part of the week? I'm sure you're not catching the mysterious part of the week. No, it's just not the four horse riders, the souls under the altar, the tribulation. There's a mysterious part of the week that's taking place that's actually not said right out that he's trying to get over to the people without saying it. But now, going back and picking up this again, spiritual understanding of what God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, it's a thing sometimes we have to say things in such a way that it might... Uh-oh. I didn't write it. I just put it on the board. We have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. Now I want you to keep in mind where we're at right now. We're talking about every kingdom that is going to be shaken is being shaken. We have people falling away. We've got this issue. We've got that issue. Why? Why? Well, this is at least part of it. That it might thin down, it might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over, but it's done purposely. It must be done that way. This is tremendous. I mean, this is a tremendous statement, Brother Brown, making in 1964. The unveiling of God, even notice the title, the unveiling of God. It must be done that way. Then it might be said to some, then it might be that some would say, rather, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. He did then. He does yet. So don't be dismayed. Don't be confused. Don't be misled or misunderstanding. He does yet. Reading on. He said one day when he had thousands around him, he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, drink his blood, you have no life in you. What kind of a statement do you think that a medical doctor or nurse or any fine intellectual person would think of a statement like that? For a man that had a ministry like he had, why he would say, eat the flesh, that's cannibal. To drink human blood, that's vampire. In other words, he wants us to be cannibals and vampires. And the whole audience walked away from him. And then he goes on to say, and then the ministerial association with him of the 70 that he had chosen. And he turned to them and he said, what will you think when you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he came from? Now, he didn't explain that. He did not explain that. Now, I want you to hold that thought. He did not explain it. Say it over. He did not explain it. He did not explain it. I want you to say, he did not explain it. That's going to be key through all this lesson this morning. He didn't explain that. He never explained how. Paul did later on. He just said, and then when he said, what will you say to these ministers when you see the Son of Man ascending from where he come from? No doubt then they said, now just a moment. Oh, we eat with him, we fish with him, we sleep with him. Now we know where he was born. We've seen the cradle that he was rocked in. And how does this man, this is a hard saying. And the Bible said they didn't walk with him anymore. They left him thinning down. And then we go a little farther. And then he had 12 left. And he chose 12, and one of them was a devil. And he said, so he turned to them, and there's no one explained what he just said. And how are you going to eat the flesh and drink his blood? And how did he come down when he was born right here on the earth? See, they couldn't understand it. And he turned to his apostles, and he said, do you want to go also? That's when the Apostle Peter made that great statement, Lord, to whom would we go? See, for we are satisfied and know surely that you and you alone have the word of life for the hour. We are satisfied of that. See, they could not explain it. Now, this is very important, this last part of this quote. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe. And it's so solid that there is nothing else will take its place. Therefore, they know that the Word of God was written for that age, that they were living in the Messianic age, that He fit that place exactly, and what could they do to go back to them cold former churches they come out of? See, said, where would we go to? We are fully persuaded that you have the Word of life, and they could not explain it, but they believe it. Now, don't miss this next statement. He said, and Jesus said that to weed down this crowd. He did then, he does yet today. Jesus said that to weed down his crowd. I didn't write it, it's just right there. Till he could get the group together. Now we're beginning to see a little bit of daylight. Till he could get the group together. And out of all those people, they only 11 of them that understood actually who he was. They know that he was God and God alone. Now he's just referring to that one doctrine, Jesus being the deity of Christ, not talking about even seals and pools and thunders and this and that, just that one doctrine. But what if it did then, what about all the others? Now, back to our text again, he said, till he could get the whole group together. Till he could get the whole group together. Colossians 1:26 again, even the secret mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now made manifest to his saints, which is Christ in you. Now, it was hid. And we could go to Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the secret, as I said, you might as well read secret every time you read mystery. The secret of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, the secret, of course, the mystery is, it's a truth unknowable except it be given by divine revelation. And this word finished, actually what it means to be brought to a proper order of understanding. Finished doesn't mean, okay, we cut it off, it's finished, it's done. No, it means to be brought to a proper order of understanding. It means to be to a clear order of understanding, should be finished. Now, brother, sister, I'm sure we don't realize and don't really, really, really realize how much favor we've been given in this generation. How great God has been to us in this generation. The insight and the understanding and the revelation, the vision, the open book, the liberation from bondage, being called and chosen, understanding predestination and being justified as though you never do it, and being spiritually resurrected. What God has done for us in this generation is absolutely tremendous. What He has done. Realizing that the secret of God should be finished or come to maturity. Now, why did He say that? He said that in the first seal, that I'm going to call you bride, that you might understand. Now, for 4,000 years, but yet there's still a supernatural element, still remains within the mystery, even though, despite the revelation, there's still, as Brother Ben said, a supernatural element still remains within the mystery. Now, for 4,000 years, we've had natural kings and natural kingdoms. John came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. John baptized this king, which is Christ the Messiah. And then 3 years later, they killed him. Well, of course, just temporarily. And then that body raised up to God, and He sent the kingdom down. The kingdom of God is within man. And He placed that spiritual kingdom in the heart of man. Now, since the new kingdom cometh not with observation, then we had a ruler, Nicodemus, came to Jesus and wanted to know how you get in this kingdom. You see, the whole thing is a mystery. How do we get in this kingdom? You see, they were looking for a Messiah, thought, oh, He's going to come beat down the Romans, set up a kingdom on earth. No, it was a spiritual kingdom. They couldn't understand it. And Satan didn't understand it either. That's the good part. Now notice the quote in even the title, Christ is a mystery. Christ is the secret of God revealed. And the bride is the secret of Christ revealed. Now, look at this Christ of mystery, paragraph 393. Remember now what Jesus said, Mark 4:11, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them without, no. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. How many can say amen to that? Amen. They can't get it. They just don't understand it. Satan don't understand it. I'm so glad He put that part in there. Satan don't understand it. Satan, he wants to understand it. He really wants to understand it, but he can't understand it. He can't understand it. Why do you think Satan crucified the Lord Jesus? You think if Satan really knew that that was the Messiah that's going to redeem all mankind, bring man back into fellowship with God, you think he would have killed Jesus if he knew? Absolutely not. He'd had band-aids all over him. But he didn't know. He didn't really. This can't be the Son of God. This cannot be the Messiah. He didn't understand. And I'm glad he didn't understand. God's great secret has always blinded the wisdom of the world. They can't get it. They just don't understand. Satan don't understand it. None of the rest of them understand. But it's just those who are predestinated to understand it. Look, what was once God's great secret, great mysterious secret in His mind, is now in the hearts of the believers. Not the world, not the unbelievers, not the make-believers, the believer. That is the body of Christ. What was God's once great secret in His mind before the foundation of the world is now made manifest. Think of it. Now, see, Satan don't understand it, the kingdom. And you say, well, how do you know? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. It don't mean see with the eyes, it means to understand. You can't understand the kingdom until you're even born again. And Satan ain't born again, so he knows he ain't gonna understand it. And Satan is not born again, we know that. And Satan thought it would stop God's secret in Abel and John and Christ and all the way down. He just don't understand it. Now our subject is this third pull, why a secret pull. And he said nothing about the third pull yet. Well, let's get to that just a little bit. Actually, I just told you half the reason why it had to be a secret pull. You'll see it just a little bit better. Christ of Mystery 393. God's great secret has always blinded us the world. Again, we're saying that. They can't get it. They just don't understand it. I'm saying it again for a purpose. Satan don't understand it. None of the rest of them understand it, but just those who predestinated to understand it. See, but he wants to. But that's why he wants to disrupt and delay God's program. Now, Satan don't understand. Now, Satan always, he wants to mimic. He wants to impersonate. He tries to dilute. He tries to misinterpret. He tries to misrepresent, alter the meaning, hinders faith, all this other thing. But he wants to understand the mystery of the kingdom, but he can't understand it. So he does this, and he brings all these different types of hybriding and impersonation and so forth, but he just don't know the secret. Now, if Satan could understand what's really going on, I'm going to say something here, he might could do great damage. Does that phrase sound familiar? If he could understand, he might do great damage. We're talking about a rapture now, a body change, the translation of the elect. The most important event since Calvary, the coming of the Lord. Satan would like to do great damage, but he can't. He knows nothing about it. It's a secret to him, but it's a revelation to the bride. Now, let's talk a little bit about this secret pull, the third pull. Now, why did Jesus say these things sometimes to thin down? Why does he want to thin down? Very simple, to get unbelief out. He said many mighty works. They said many mighty works Jesus could not do because of their unbelief. Why are so many leaving the message? Lack of revelation. Actually, there's no representation. If you leave it and leave it for good, there's just no representation there. But you see, after you get the unbelief out, that's when God can really reveal himself. Go and look at the Last Supper when Jesus had the 12 together. Judas was among them. And then Jesus says, you know, one of you going to betray me. And he dips the sop. Judas goes up and leaves. Do quickly what you're going to do. So after he gets the unbelief out, Judas, and he has 11 believers there with him. Now, if you go back and read, after Judas is gone from the presence, go back and read the book of John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17, where Christ really unveils many of his intimate secrets to his believers, the 11 that he never said before. Why? Because unbelief was removed from them, from him. Only the 11 was left with him. Oh, we're getting somewhere. Now, in 1958, Brother Brown preached this message, a sudden secret going away of the church. And he took his text from 1 Thessalonians 5, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. It is a secret rapture. We all know it. It's a secret rapture. The world knows nothing about it. They won't know nothing about it. It'll be gone, and they won't know nothing about it even after it's gone. They'll go right on preaching and heading right into the tribulation and finally realize, you know, I thought that the rapture was supposed to come, and it's already gone. Now, the rapture is a secret rapture. The world knows nothing about it. The message is a secret. The world knows nothing about that. This coming of Elijah is a secret. The world knows nothing. I'm talking about the world. The bride does, not the world. The unveiling of God is a secret. The world knows nothing about that. The revealing of the Son of Man, Luke 17:30, that's a secret. The world knows nothing about that. The opening of the seals is a secret. The world knows nothing about that. The descent of that covenant angel, Revelation 10:1, the world knows nothing about that. It's a secret. And when you received a new birth, a word birth on your soul, that was a secret also. It was between you and God. He said, well, you might have had some expression of what happened on the inside, but the revelation was between you and God. You was birthed into the kingdom of God, and only you and God know that. And what Brother Ben said, they asked him a question. So Brother Ben, what is a new birth? It's Christ personally revealed to you. It's you and Christ alone. That's it. You and Christ alone. Not your husband, not your wife, not your pastor or brother, sister. It's you and Christ alone. That's the way God designed it. Now, what is it? God is whispering secrets to his bride and to his bride alone. Now, that's why this has to be an invisible union. It's not to the world. That's why people are leaving this message. That's why they're falling away. That's why people are getting cold and so forth. Every kingdom that can be shaken is being shaken, will be shaken, and is going to shake even harder. And the only thing that's rooted and grounded on the present day truth, that's the only thing that's going to stand. Only thing that's going to stand. Present day truth, nothing else. Why anybody will want to leave this present day truth, I can't understand it. Yeah, I'll say that's a secret. That's a mystery to me. That's a mystery to me. I just don't understand that. But it has to be that way. It's for a purpose. Every person is being shaken. Every church is being shaken. Every family is being shaken. Every individual is being shaken. It has to be that way. It has a purpose to weed out unbelief, to bring the body together and try us like faithful Abraham was tried. Now, first quickly, if I was to ask you, why do we call this a third pull? I mean, just pull. What are we talking about? Pull. Where do we get the word pull? I asked somebody that the other day. They said, you know what? I've been in the message for years. I really don't even know why they call it a pull, a third pull. Well, we're going to understand this morning why they call it a pull. Give you just a little brief history on that. You can pick all this up in the message Brother Brown preached in 1956. What is a vision? He tells this, the tent vision in detail. But just a real short summary. We're going to pick up part of the quotes here and go through this so we'll begin to understand why the secrecy. First of all, Brother Bannon had gone in $15,000 in debt, and he had promised God, he said, I'm going to pay my bills. So he said, I'm coming off the field. I'm going to get my job back in Jeffersonville and go back to work. So he was discussing this with his wife, Mita, and he fell into a vision. And he saw a great meeting, and somebody dismissed me. I'm just summarizing. Somebody dismissed this meeting. He couldn't understand why. Then he fell deeper into the vision and trying to lace a little eyelet of the baby's shoe with this great big cord, a half-inch cord and a little 1/8 of an inch eyelet. And he couldn't do it. And he couldn't accomplish that. And the voice said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. Then the voice said, you're using the wrong end of the string of the cord. Then he was taken out to a beautiful lake, a little deeper into the vision, and fishermen all around. And these fishermen ended up being all preachers. And he saw a great big rainbow trout. And these fishermen were all catching the small fish. But Brother Bram said in his heart, said, I believe I can catch the big ones. So then the voice, the man behind him said, all right, I'm going to teach you how to fish. Now, on the screen, what is the vision, paragraph 16? This will explain to you why we call it a pull. Some people don't even know this. Now, let's look. He said, so he's going to explain to him how to fish. And he took and he said, tie on the lure. And I snapped the lure on. He said, now throw it way out. Now, even when we're reading this stuff, you got to think spiritual. Think spiritual. Throw it way out into the deep. Now listen close. Way out into the deep. And he said, when you do, now let the lure sink down first. And then said, pull it slow. Now that's really fisherman's technique. And so he said, then when you do, now you'll feel some nibbles at all. But now listen. But don't tell nobody what you're doing. Keep it to yourself. And said, then when you feel that nibble again, then pull just a little again. A little, but not too hard. And he said, and then it'll pull away from the little fish. And when they scatter, they'll attract the attention of the big fish. And they'll grab it. And said, that's the way you catch it. And said, then when they bite on the third time, the third pull, when you bite the third time, then set your hook for the catch. And he said, I understand. Notice what he said again. He said, but keep still. Don't tell nobody. Just keep still. He's already said it twice in this paragraph. Don't tell nobody what you're doing. There's a reason for it. Third pull. He's fishing. That's where we get the pull from. Pulled in the third time, catch the big rainbow trout. Now, we're talking about not the little fish, the big rainbow trout, the bride, the elected, the predestinated, God's chosen. That's the big rainbow trout. So you got to see the spiritual application here. The big rainbow trout, that's what he wants to catch. But don't tell nobody what you're doing. Just keep still. How many times did the angel tell him, just keep still, don't tell nobody? Then what happened in the vision? Then all these fishermen come around and saw Brother Bram fishing like that in the vision. Come around and said, oh, Brother Bram, we know you can catch the big fish. You can catch the big fish. And then what did Brother Bram do? Brother Bram did exactly what the angel told him not to do. And explained everything. Pick it up in what is the vision, paragraph 17. And just then, this one who'd been talking behind me stepped around in front of me. It was him, the angel of the Lord. And he had his hands folded. And he looked at me and he said, just what I told you not to do. Can you imagine how that prophet felt? You did just exactly what I... It ain't been 2 minutes. You did exactly what I told you not to do. And I said, yes, that's right. And he said, you see, this first pull... Now we're talking about application. Now this first pull is when you put your hands on the people and tell them what their trouble. And he said, the second pull was when you know the secrets of their heart, I told you. And he said, instead of you keeping that to yourself, this, I want you to catch this. This is really outstanding. Instead of you keeping that to yourself, you tried to explain all about it and tell the people. And when you did, he said, you didn't know nothing about yourself. And how could you explain it? That's what it says. The angel saying, now, you didn't know anything about that first and second pull. You're trying to explain the first and second pull, and you made a bunch of carnal impersonators. He said, you didn't know nothing about it yourself, and how could you explain it? And you caused a big bunch of carnal impersonations to rise up, and you see what you've done. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. So you caused a bunch of carnal impersonators to rise up. So this third and final pull, which will catch the big rainbow trout, the predestinated, the true bride, the elected, the chosen, those that are going to be raptured, this third pull is for this bride, the secret pull. All right. Now, and then in the vision, he was taken up a little higher in this vision. And he saw a great big tent. And he had just given an altar call, and many repented. Then a real kind gentleman went and said, all right, I'm going to call a prayer line. And then to my right, there was a piece of canvas stretched. Now, we got all kinds of ideas about the little room, and I ain't going to explain about the little room. I'm just going to tell you what happened. He says, a piece of canvas stretched, like a little wooden building, about 12 by 20, a little room, or little wooden building, a little room, calls it two or three different things. And the people were going into that little room and coming out on the other side. They seen it in this vision, this tent vision. Now, in that little room is the focus of this secret. What happened in that little room? That's the question. What happened in there? They went in sick, they came out well. They went in crippled, they came out walking. They went out dying, they come out living. What happened in that little bitty room? Something happened in that little room. Something happened behind that canvas, if you will. Something happened behind that veil, if you will. Something happened in there. The public didn't know nothing about it. The public won't know nothing about it. The public didn't see it. The public can't see it. But something happened in there that's supernatural between that person and Almighty God that nobody else knows. And to be honest with you, even the individual did not know. Something happened in there supernaturally. And when we'll go a little bit farther there. But it's just like when the high priest went in behind the veil, it was hidden. The Holy of Holies, the kind of glory, when he went in behind that veil in the Old Testament, the public couldn't see that. The rest of the congregation couldn't see it. It was hidden to them. It was behind that veil. And so then in the vision, the voice that behind him said, I'll meet you in there. And this is that third pull, and nobody will know nothing about it. Just go, and if you go back and read the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to meet you behind that veil. I'm going to meet you in there, where that mercy seat is going to be, and so forth. All these types and shadows and applications are beautiful. All right, let's pick it up in paragraph 18, what is the vision? He said, I'll meet you in there, and nobody will know nothing about it. He said, and I seen them bringing a lady. Now, this is what happened when people went in the little room, coming out. And I seen them bringing a lady on a stretcher. And there was a lady... They're taking her name and things on a piece of paper. And so there was someone come and got her and pushed her through. And the next man came through with crutches. I seen them go through that little building. And then on the outside, the lady come out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing the stretcher. And then there was another lady on the other side, looked like kind of a dark-haired woman, and she said, what happened? And she said, now let me explain this thing to you. He said, I don't know. And you're not trying to explain to it. Said, I don't know. Now wait a minute. That person was been paralyzed on crutches or whatever all their life. They went through this little room and come out well. Now what happened? They was there. What happened? I don't know. They went through it themselves, but they said, what happened? I don't know. But yet they were the one that it happened to. Are you following me? Oh, this is just wonderful. And she said, I don't know. She said, I couldn't tell you what happened. She said, I've been paralyzed for 20 years, and looky, I feel like I never was sick. And then just come out, and just then out come the man leaping and jumping with his crutches in his hand, and I looked at that. They went in sick, they come out well. They went in dying, they come out alive. They went in crippled, they come out healed. What happened? What happened in behind that veil? He said, well, you was in there, what happened? I don't know. I can't tell you. But it happened. Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, he never explained it. He said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He never explained it. Brother Bram said, I saw 16 men fall from their death. He never explained it. But they want an explanation. They want to try to figure it out. He never explained it. It wasn't for them. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery, a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. He never explained that. He never really explained that. Only in this last day do we further understand that. 1 Corinthians 15:51. And we could also go to Revelation 10:7, or Revelation 8:1 rather. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour, but he never did explain it. But yet it happened. And it's still happening. We know that, of course, the seventh seal has to do with the rapture of the coming of the Lord, but it's not only just that one event of the coming of the Lord, the rapture then. It actually began in 63 when that covenant angel Christ come down, put one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. The rapture is a process. He come down. He's here. The Holy Ghost himself. We know that. He never explained it, but it happened. And it's still happening. Now in the vision, the pillar of fire left him and settled down over that little room. Now let's read the final paragraph on that. And he said, and like a fire whipping round, licking blazing, and it left me. And it went right down over the top of that audience, went and stood over the top of that little building, and then settled down on the top of it. And then when it did, this one that was standing by me, behind me, the same voice, the angel's voice said, I'll meet you in there, and this is the third pool, and nobody will know nothing about it. And I said, well, I don't understand why I'm there. Now, Jesus is going to explain, or this angel rather is going to explain a little bit. And he said, well, I don't understand why I'm there. He said, it will not be a public show this time. It will not be a public show. It'll be you and Christ alone. Get in the picture? You and Christ alone. That's why, and just stop right here for a second, that's why it's so imperative. We must have a word birth. You must have the Holy Ghost. You're going in a rapture, you must have the Holy Ghost. It's you and Christ alone. I don't care what your last name is, don't matter what you know, your history, you've been in the message 50 years, that's just fine and dandy. You must have the Holy Ghost. Only thing going in a rapture is a word birth, present day truth, Holy Ghost birth on your soul. That's it, end of story. Be it understood. Say, Brother Terry, you know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Only those who got the Holy Ghost, word birth, is going to rapture. We know that. Okay, now, I don't understand. There he says, it'll not be a public show this time. And he said, I don't understand him going into that closet. Now, you can read between the lines, a little room and everything like that, but get into that. And he said, is it not written by our Lord, when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites who like to be heard before men, but enter into the secret closet and pray to the Father who seeth in secret, and he who seeth in shall reward thee openly. It's perfectly the scripture every time. And I said, I understand. This is really outstanding what he said. And then he took me to this place and set me down, this little room where I was at, and then he told me what to do for the third time. Now, this angel actually explained to Brother Ram this mystery behind the third pull. How do I know that? Because this next statement. He said, now, Christian friends, that when I leave this world, that'll still be in my bosom. But the prophet of God, no, he done messed it up twice. Tried to explain it. He said, this is one secret I will take to my death. Nobody, I mean nobody, will have the revelation. Nobody will get it out of my mouth. Nobody will understand it because I will not explain it. But the angel explained to him, now he told me what to do for the third time. But he said, I will take that to my death, which he did. But it is a secret, and it comes only by revelation. You with me so far? Think of it. Something being hid, something being a secret, and it's only for the elect. It's only by revelation. It's mysterious, and certainly it's unusual. And I can't explain it. Nobody else can explain it. It really can't be explained, but yet it is a reality. Faith is a substance. It's a real substance. Because faith is a revelation. And think it not even strange, even our text, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. A certain element still remains in the mystery, despite even the revelation. And even look back. Now think, let's look at a little a type. I just got to thinking about that. Even in the first Exodus, when the manna fell each morning for 40 years, that was the bread that come from heaven. In Exodus 16:15, I don't have it, I'll just read it. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. You know what the word manna actually literally means? Does anybody know really what the word manna means? No, be honest. If you really know it, raise your hands. If you know what it means, there's a few of you. The word manna means, what is it? Manna means, what is it? They saw this little wafer on the ground. They don't even know what it is. They named it manna because manna means, what is it? It's a secret. The bread from heaven was a The bread from heaven was a secret, and even the word manna means, what is this? And that's tremendous. We're going to name it manna because the word manna means, what is it? That was in the first pull. And then you go to the second pull. Jesus said, I am the bread which comes down from heaven. And this very bread is standing there right before Pilate, the very truth, the way and the life. And Pilate says, what is this? What is this bread? Who is this truth? What is truth? Standing there all right before them, and they didn't even know what it was. They didn't understand the secret. And the secret was standing right in front of them. I am this bread that come down from heaven. You go to the Feast of the Tabernacles, I believe it was, and the 7 days of feast, and you know it represented the Feast of Tabernacles and the great pillar of fire that led them out of the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness and so forth. And the way they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, they take all these great big candelabras, you know, representing the pillar of fire, and they light these big candelabras, and they have a great big old feast and dancing, and they just line the street with all these candelabras. Oh, it's a beautiful sight to behold, the Feast of the Tabernacles, the way the Jews celebrated it back then. All the candelabras lit up and everything, and then at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, you know the story, Jesus, the woman was taken in adultery, and neither did I accuse you. And then Jesus gets up and says, you know what? I am that pillar of fire. I am the light that was in the wilderness. And they're really rejoicing over the pillar of fire that was in the wilderness, and Jesus right there being that light, standing right before them, they didn't know who it was. I am the light. I am that pillar of fire. I am the bread of heaven. Yet they was blinded. They couldn't see it. But the prophet of God said, it has to be done that way. Sometimes it's got to be said to thin down. Some will go this way. Some will go that way. But it's only for the elected. Oh, and then even in this third Exodus, that pyramid mountain, that white marble, not even written anything. And he said, I'll meet you in there, and nobody know nothing about it. You see, even the mystery of Junior Jackson's dream, it was white marble, not even written on. A secret. Unwritten mysteries. Now, let's go just a little bit farther. You got a couple more minutes? I'm going to keep you anyway. Something happened in behind that veil. Something happened in that little room. I've got my ideas. People, you know, return ministry, and to me that's a bunch of nonsense. You know. There's a supernatural element despite the revelation, this, that, and the other, but it's for application. Something happened, this we do know, something happened when they went behind that canvas. Something happened when they went in that little room. They went in sick, they come out well. They went in crippled, they came out healed. Whatever, they came out dying, went in dying, they come out living. Something happened behind that canvas, but they could not explain it. But yet it happened. Just like Enoch, he was walking with God. I don't know if y'all ever, how many of y'all remember, but if you go back and get the message 1964, Brother M preached, he that is in you, and he tells the Colorado storm in detail, and he goes, and I won't go into the storm, but he's coming down off the mountain, blizzards forecasted, coming down off the mountain, already starting to blow snow and everything, coming down on, he said, go back to where you come from. Go back up in that storm and to death. He said, I know to obey the voice. So he goes back up there. Then as he's going back up there, the voice says, why don't you walk with me? He said, the greatest pleasure I ever have is to walk with you, Lord. And then right after that, go back and listen. It's tremendous. He said, in every aspect, he said, I believe I'll walk down, do a little salute to media on October 23rd, our anniversary. I'm always out hunting, so I'll find me a little place in the quaking ass, and I'll do a little salute to my wife, Media, there. He said, and that was right after, he said, why don't you walk with me? And he said, right after that, he said, in every aspect, I was changed young again. Go back and listen to it. In every aspect, I was changed young again. He said, whether it be a translation or a vision, I don't know. He said, I was changed young again. He said, I saw Media when I was taken up there, going to show where I killed that black bear, the young little bride and everything. Back when we first married, as a tribute to his wedding and so forth, he said, I was changed back young again. The point being, he was walking with God, just him and God. Him and God alone, nobody else, just him and God. And after that, shortly after that, he was changed. Now, we know what the three phases of the third pool are: the spoken word, the opening of the word, souls are now in prison, but mainly the opening of the word, but all three of them. And also, Brother Bam, in many places, and we could take a whole sermon on that, where he ties the third pool and the seventh seal together. One and the same, the third pool, the seventh seal. It's third pool and seventh seal. Now, I'm going to read several quotes in closing this out, read several quotes that you might understand. In the seventh seal, he said, I think it's 564, seventh seal. Now, notice now, for the end time message, this seal, after all, he's revealed all six seals, but he don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a... Really? Total secret. Total secret, according to the Bible. Before knowing, and remember, Revelation 10, 1, 7, 1 to 7, chapter 10, 1 to 7. At the end of the seventh angel message, all the message of God should be known. We're at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. Now hold that. It'll be seventh seal, total secret. Another one, indictment, paragraph 392. We'll read several short quotes. He's praying now. May there come forth a revival of the just and a great power come among the church that'll just... Great power come among the church just before it's going. It's not hard to pray that because you promised it and we're looking for it, Lord, for that third pull that we know that will do great things for us in our midst. Amen. Just giving little glimpses of it. Here's one, shalom. And we know paragraph 266. And we all know that's the identification. We know what the third pull is. We all understand that. Now you got it. Now you have the tape, see? Now listen to what he says. And I think it'll just lay dormant for a little while until the great hour of persecution, comes. That's when it'll speak. It'll be manifested it'll be manifested. This is tremendous. I mean, you want to see some prophecy? Here it is, brother. It'll be manifested just like the five straight signs without failure. Now I want to ask you something. Had five manifestations of the spoken word. You ever really thought about what each one of those were? Very, very simple, but very, very astounding. Squirrels, food. Little fishy, resurrection. Hattie Wright, sons, salvation. Colorado storm, control nature. Sister Meadie's tumor, healing. Takes care of everything we have need of. Anything we have need of is in them five. Say, what's going to happen during the last part of the squeak? I don't know. I can't tell you. But I know this one thing. There's a man here who can turn on the lights. Everything you have need of. Even Brother Bill said, that gene that's put in your heart, that gene seed of life, said, everything you have need for in this earthly journey is in that seed. Even the rapture. That's what he said. Everything you have need of is in that seed. Everything you have need of has already been proved. Those five manifestations of the prophet showed us, the squirrels, the tumor, the spoken word, had he rise two sons, little fishy, everything. Everything we have need of, all five of them has already been proven. And remember now, we know that the prophet of God being a first matured son of God and a sheaf waving before the people, and any sheaf that's waved before the congregation in the Old Testament showing that that's the first one to come to maturity, showing there's more to come in the field just like that. So we know that it's already been proved, it's already been vindicated, it's already been perfectly identified. We know what it is. We know what it'll do. We know that all five of those, it takes care of everything we have need of during that time. Don't worry, sister. There's a man here that can turn on the lights. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how dismal it gets. I don't care how much of this coronavirus. I don't care how much sickness, how much this, that, and the other. It's going to get worse and whatever more. Maybe not that. I don't know. Who would have ever thought? That a virus, a sickness, would actually change the whole world system. Close down the churches, close down the business. Everything that in the last 3 years has prospered in this United States as far as economics is disaster. It's ruined. It's finished. It's all part of the plan. All part of the plan. Thing for us to do is look up, be ready. Don't get too comfortable here because this is our temporary home. This is only our temporary home. But everything you have need of, it's already been proven. It's already been vindicated. Why Christ speak? 2:32, just a few more minutes. What a lesson, oh my. At this stage of the journey where we are standing, look here, look where we're at now. Yes, sir. At the third pull, notice we're right here at the door, the coming of the Lord. The seventh seal, paragraph 563. And Sabine Kenny said, this is the third pull. And there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today or yesterday. The other one unfolded today. And there's one thing that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language. But I was standing right there and looked right straight at it. This is the third pull coming up. And this Holy Spirit of God. Oh my, are you kidding me? He said, I was standing right there, and this is a third pull coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. All heaven was silent. That's the opening of the seventh seal. All heaven was silent. There's a reason why this third pull must be a secret. There's a reason why the seventh seal, nothing was said, nothing about it. The angel quit harping. Nothing was there. Even heaven didn't know nothing about it. It was so important. You can't give away the secret. Satan could do great damage. And we're talking about a rapture, a body change, the greatest event since the Calvary, and the devil ain't going to know nothing about it. The devil won't know nothing about it because it won't be explained. But it'll be a personal revelation to every member of the bride of Christ. That's the reason all heaven was silent. A couple more minutes. Look away to Jesus. It's tightening. And then when that time comes and the press comes to a place where you're pressed out, then watch what I'm fixing to tell you in a few minutes. What's the third pull then? See, it'll be absolutely to the total loss, but it'll be for the bride and the church, which is really for the bride he's talking about. Look away to Jesus, paragraph 43. This one is very, very encouraging. Paragraph 43, look away to Jesus. And it's so sacred that I mustn't say much about it. As he told me, I mustn't say much about it. Don't try to explain it. Say nothing of it. You remember that years ago. It speaks for itself. You don't have to explain it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It speaks for itself. You don't have to explain it. God just reveals it. That's all you need to know. It speaks for itself. See, but you, I've tried to explain the others, and I made a mistake. This will be the thing that, to my opinion, I don't say the Lord tells me this, this will be the thing that will start the rapture in faith for the going away. Couple more quotes. This is probably the best of all of them. I save it for the last. But don't forget, when that hour arrives, when the revelation will also, I say the revelation will come. The revelation will be there. Don't you worry about it. It'll be there. And look how close we are to the rapture. Remember, Brother Bram said, see the day we're living in? This is the golden age. And I won't take time in, but this is the golden age. You could go back and you could pick up some types in Israel, but we won't go talk about that. How Moses took the children of Israel out. Joshua placed them in their promised land and divided up their inheritance. David, he beat down all the nations until all the nations feared Israel. And Solomon come in with this great gift, which introduced the golden age, which was the golden age in the time of Israel. And I mean, it's just a beautiful application. Where are we living right now? It's the same thing. And you know, when you even think about it, I don't say no more, but you know, when the Queen of Sheba come to ask Solomon and see the wisdom of Solomon and all the hard questions, she asked him all the hard questions. She asked all, and said, even the half is not even yet being told. But she recognized that Jehovah was Israel. And not only did Solomon answer her questions, he answered the hard questions. And not only did she see that Israel had prospered, and not only did she see the magnificent temple that was built, but she also saw that Solomon's people were happy and that the kingdom in his house was in order. Amen. That's another thing she saw. She was amazed about, oh, Solomon, all your people are happy and your house is in order. Brother, sister, where are we? Where are we right now? All this kingdom, this word that's been restored in our day, the word's been restored. We're almost entering into our golden age, which is a millennium type. We're almost there right now. Same today, God's kingdom restored, and the house of God's in order. This is not an infant bride. This is closing out bride. This is rapture bride. This is going home. This is translation time. Brother, if you're not planning on going, you better be getting in real, real quick. Seventh seal. I'm going to close out with this one. Started paragraph 557, but I'm going to skip a little bit down to maybe the last part of the second paragraph. And he goes on down. It's relaxing time, if we can find that. It was so great till it kept secret from the angels. It's relaxing time. It was so great till it kept secret from the angels. Now why? If Satan could have get a hold of it, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to and impersonate any kind of gift. He said, I hope you're learning. In other words, things have to be done without saying it right out. I hope you're learning, but he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they just shut up, quit harboring. Everything stopped. It's so tremendous. Now, this is you'll understand why when we read this last paragraph. And the musicians, if you want to be coming, well, you might miss seeing this on. You might want to see this also. Let's read this last one, 558. If you want something to happen, now you have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than to tell anybody about it. Not that that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. Catch this, brother, sister. Satan will hear it. See, he can't get it in my heart there. As long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit, word birth, sealed up. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Satan didn't give it, he can't take it away. That's sealed in. There is a true seal of the Holy Ghost. You're sealed in, the devil can't get it and get you. He can't get nothing in that Holy Spirit, in that soul of yours. He can't get it in my heart, see, as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God. See what I'm talking about? When it's in your soul, it's between you and God. It's sealed up. The devil can't get it. He knows nothing about it. There's no way for him to know anything about it. See, he don't know nothing about it until you speak it. Then he hears it. And I'll try to do a certain thing. And watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, see, to beat me to it. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then that's different. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. Remember now, he said, don't you try to explain this third pull. You try to explain the first, the second, it calls carnal impersonators. Carnal impressions, all kinds of mimics. You know, Brother M talked about years ago in the healing revival, one church had a little David, a little gifted boy, and he could really preach like a firestorm. Then everybody else had to get a little David. And then the oil in the forehead and blood in the hands and all these impersonations and the Messiah sign and telling the secrets of the heart. They tried that. We've even seen it around the message in the last 30 years. They try that. Sometimes they get it. Sometimes all carnal impersonations. Impersonations, mimics of it, but God's not playing baseball. It's got to be accurate, perfect every time. Said, just don't say nothing about it. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything that the church would do, and he's tried to do it. Musicians, come on. We've noticed it through the Antichrist, but this is one thing he cannot impersonate. There'll be no mimics of this, see, because he don't know it. There's no way for him to know it. It's the third pull. He knows nothing about it. See, he just don't understand. Let's stand. He just don't understand. There ain't no way for him to know nothing about it. It's not for him to know anything about it. It's for you to know about it. You say, well, Brother Terry, explain it to me. I can't explain it to you. If I could explain it, then I'd give the secret away. I don't know what the secret is, but I guarantee you there's a man here that can turn on the lights. When you have need of it, he'll give it. It's always happened that way. When you take no thought for what you should say when you're taking before kings and magistrates, but in that hour you'll be given what to say. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be concerned about it. God will see this little bride through, but that's the reason it must be a secret pool. It's got to be a secret. No impersonations. Why is he thinning down? You've got to get the unbelief out. Why are people leaving? You've got to get the unbelief out. You've got to get this group together. Amen. Why did he get rid of it? Why did Judas get, go do what you got to do? Then he explained all. Then Lord Jesus told all of his close, intimate secrets to John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's all for a purpose, bride. It's all got to be this way. Lift up your hands, your redemption draweth nigh. It's a beautiful picture. It's all got it's but it's got to be this way. It's Brother Louis, it's just so wonderful. We don't have to explain it. We just live it. Brother Man said a question answer on the seals. Just live a simple, humble Christian life. God will take care of the rest. How many believes that? Why don't we just sing that little song? The only song I know, God's good all the time. We'll sing that. Can we do that? We'll do it for old time's sake, okay? God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light. Oh, God is good all the time.
Amen. Well, I'll just say this. That was quite a lesson. That, I feel like I've been to school. Brother Terry, God bless your heart. Wasn't it good to have him with us today? We love you, buddy. We're so glad to have you. We love Sister Alice also. You're part of us. Just not here with us, but you're still part of us. And we're so glad to have you in the service. Tremendous message this morning. The word of the Lord is settled. We believe it. That settles it. We just believe it. That settles it. I'm not looking for explanations, reasons to not believe it, not reasons to doubt it. I believe it. To me, that settles it. Don't it, you? Amen. Give Brother Terry one more hand, if you will, this morning. We love you, Daddy. Amen. Brother Joel, come quickly. Let's sing this little song talking about the pools. I feel the pool just as we get ready to go home today. Hadn't it been good to have been in the house of the Lord? Hope you all have a wonderful week. May God bless you, keep you safe, keep you free from sickness. Let's just look forward to what God will have for us here, Lord willing, Wednesday night. It's going to be good, whatever it is. He never disappoints. He never disappoints. Let's have Brother Joel sing this, I feel the pull, just as we get ready to leave this morning.
I feel the pull. I hear the call.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And I know His Spirit.
To give my all. Oh, He speaks to me.
control I feel. One more time. Just go in the fear of the Lord. God bless you. I feel your pull. Lord, I hear your call. And I know your spirit's pulling me to give.